what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne." And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Love that last one. Nothing will be impossible with God. The reading of God's word. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's pray and just give thanks for a second. Father, we just thank you for the ability to read your word. We thank you for your word that is so powerful and so meaningful. And we don't ever want to take for granted the ability to read it aloud, to read it corporately. We know that there's many parts of the world where this cannot be done. Father, we thank you for that ability. We thank you for that right. And once again, we don't ever want to take that ability for granted. Be with us this morning as we delve into your word, even just this small passage of scripture, and we see how important it is and how many wonderful things came out of just this tiny passage of scripture. Lord, open our ears and allow us to hear what you have us to hear and understand it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whoa. So if Zechariah was disbelieving with the news he was given that his barren wife would give birth to a son, then Gabriel really had his work cut out for him with Mary. Again, barren women giving birth, very special, not unprecedented. But this is different. Never before had a virgin conceived a child. This would be the first and last time in history that this would ever take place. Gabriel was sent from the presence of God once again on a very special mission to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, smack dab between the Mediterranean Sea, about 22 miles to the west, and the Sea of Galilee, about 15 miles to the northeast, to a nothing special village. At least we know the name of this one, but to a nothing special village. Gabriel was sent to a virgin who was betrothed to be married. And we often think of the word betrothed like an engagement, but it was much, much more serious than an engagement. In fact, for a betrothal to be broken required a certificate of divorce in Jewish custom. So it's pretty powerful, pretty important. Gabriel greeted her with these words, "Highly favored one." Many are familiar with the phrase, "Hail Mary, full of grace," from the Latin Vulgate. Gratia plena, full of grace. No woman in history received the abundance of grace that this young peasant girl has. Her favor with the Lord was without equal. What an overwhelming amount of information for Mary to take in. It's almost unimaginable what he told her. We learn this was troubling. She was troubled at his saying. And he said to her, "Don't be troubled." And we discussed last week, that phrase, "don't be troubled," it wasn't a comforting thing. This was a command. Pay attention. There's going to be a lot of information. There's directions. There's instructions. You will name him Jesus. He will not only be your son, but he will be king. He will sit on the throne of David. He will reign forever. And he will be the Son of God. Awesome news. Incredible news. Terrifying news. Her response? How can this be? You must have the wrong person. How can this be? I'm a virgin. Troubling. She would have been troubled. There are natural laws, given laws. Everybody in Galilee, everybody in Judea, everybody in Israel knew laws like this, knew laws like these. These natural laws. Storks don't come to virgins. Virgins do not get pregnant. How can this be? She didn't have to be a cellular biologist to grasp that concept. These natural laws are used by God to govern His creation. We don't have to understand all of them. But we can see them in action. It's the same today. I don't have to understand a lot about gravity to know that when Luke climbs up in that tall tree, at some point his keister's probably coming down rapidly. I don't have to know all about nature, all about gravity to know that. But we like to think we understand things, like energy. We see that energy is the ability to do work. Energy is equal to mc squared. We even find ways we know how to measure the amounts of energy. But we really don't understand what energy really is. But they, and we, see laws that are inherent to creation, inherent to the created universe, that act by the systems set up by its creator. We sometimes think these laws act without Him. We sometimes think that these laws act independently of the power and sovereignty of God. But God governs His creation through patterns. We call these ordinary patterns natural laws. And historically, theologians call miracles actions of God that are contra naturam, that are against nature. They just don't fit. But we have to stop and recognize that what we call natural laws are just the ordinary ways that God governs His creation. Just the ordinary ways. The patterns that He set up for the universe to function. The rotation of the planets. The gravitational pulls, the inertial movement, the transference of heat. These patterns are governed by their creator. But make no mistake, they do not govern their creator. From Mary's perspective, the natural perspective, this was impossible. How can this be? From Zechariah's perspective, this was impossible. Their perspectives quickly changed. See, natural laws don't govern God. Nature only works because of God's power. And when He gives nature an order, guess what? Nature listens. When God told the earth to revolve around the sun in a 365-day orbit, it did. It does. While rotating around its axis every 24 hours, it does. And when the Lord tells the earth to halt, hold in that orbit, because he has some purpose for longer light in a day, like in Joshua chapter 10, guess what? It does. I may not understand it, but that doesn't mean anything. I don't know much about an internal combustion engine, but I sure depend on it a lot on a daily basis. When I get this idea that I, in my vast intellect, there was a whole lot of chuckling when, as soon as I said that from over on this side of the room. When I, in my vast intellect, think that I have to understand it all for it to exist and for it to work, then I enter a very dangerous and hopeless trajectory, because I will never understand it all. And I will frustrate myself when I realize that I can't. Science began and progressed in order to understand our Creator by looking and observing His creation. When I have the world's perspective, when it comes to these bodies, these finite bodies, the power of medicine is all that matters. When a loved one is sick, when somebody I know is suffering, and if that medicine fails to cure, or the surgeon misses something, then that's it. This clump of cells shut down. Oh well, that's it. But then again, in a worldly perspective, that's all we are, right? Clumps of cells. We really don't mean anything. But when I have a perspective that focuses on God as the designer of these finely tuned machines, 400 muscles in the eye have to work perfectly together and in perfect synchronization for you to be able to see. You only know that when your son loses that ability because something wasn't functioning right. But when you see the vastness of what has to happen on this finely tuned machine to be able to do something as simple as this, and you realize that he uses medicine and professionals as part of his plan to maintain health, to heal when pieces break down, when it's in his plan, then I begin to understand the power of prayer and the importance of talking to that one who created this finely tuned piece of machinery. And I change my perspective to have a more eternal focus. And I understand that he is the one in charge. These bodies are finite. You can't get an extended warranty for more than 60, 80, 100 years. You have to pay way more for that. But you can't get an extended warranty on that. That's it. These are finite bodies. But with an eternal perspective, I realize that this short time that we have here together is not all there is. In the world's economy, with a natural perspective, the 99 sheep that are in the fold, very important. This one lost one over here, not that important. But Matthew 18:10 tells us that in God's economy, with an eternal perspective, that one lost sheep is awfully important. It counts an awful lot to God. with a worldly perspective, a baby in the womb doesn't count for much. She or he is virtually helpless, doesn't give much to society, and is totally dependent upon mom. Even though science can't figure out that spark that begins when life starts. There's a spark. You can see it. You can see it on equipment. There's a spark that happens. We can't explain it, but it's there. In God's perspective, that tiny one is no less important than a 2-year-old, a 22-year-old, 42, 62, 82, 102. No less important. In a worldly perspective, my two boys are just cosmic events. They're just a bundle of cells, again, an evolutionary step. Although, I don't get that because, again, there's no way, if I had a tail at one point, there's no way I would have ever given that up. No way. I mean, can you imagine the stuff? Well, Lucas and I talk about this a lot, and Ben and I talk about it even more. Can you imagine if I had that tail that I could just hold that flashlight while I'm trying to do something over here? No way would I give that up. Wings. The amount of money that I would save on flights if I had wings, I would have never got rid of those. The ability to see a mouse 4 footballs away, 4 football fields away. No way. I would never have given that up. That's so cool. But in a worldly perspective, those two boys are evolutionary steps, bundles of cells. But in a godly perspective, they are specifically and specially designed by a loving creator, a loving designer, with wonderful individual purposes. Luke, with all his craziness, has a special purpose that only God knows what it is. And only that kid can do that purpose. Not me, not his brother, not any of you. God has him designed to do a special purpose. Ben, with the things he understands and the things he doesn't understand, God has a special purpose for that guy that only he can do. Nobody else. That's how special he is. And that's how special we are to God. So when Mary asks this question of Gabriel, how can this be? I'm a virgin. It is a very natural question. There was no way that this announcement could come true. It was against the laws of nature. But the angel has the answer to her question of how. And he takes the time to explain it to her. Mary, here's how. The Holy Spirit, our text says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit's often referred to in the New Testament by the Greek dunamis, the power of God. It's where we get the English word dynamite. The Spirit of God, where God invests his supernatural sovereign power. In Genesis 1, by the Spirit hovering over the waters, the original creation came into existence. Genesis 1:2 describes the earth as formless, void, nothing, empty, in darkness, until the Spirit of God hovered over it. Then God spoke, "Let there be light," and the lights came on. The Spirit of God hovered over. The earth was formed and shaped and structured by this omnipotent Creator. Do you remember that, Mary? The Spirit of God did that. Right now, your womb is empty. It's formless. It's void. But the same Spirit that hovered over the darkness at the beginning will overshadow you. And by His omnipotent power, you will conceive the Holy One, the Son of God. Your cousin Elizabeth, who was called barren, is in her sixth month of pregnancy right now. For with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible to God. That doesn't mean He can do anything. There are things outside His nature. He can't lie. He can't die. God can't stop being God. And as long as He is God, everything He creates, He controls and has power over. That's what the angel showed Mary. With God, all things are possible. From the stars in the sky to your empty womb. Folks, don't fall into this trap of a worldly perspective that just because we don't understand the vastness of God doesn't mean He doesn't exist. The world says that we shouldn't talk to God or about Him to others. I talk to God to learn more about Him, His love, His kindness, His patience, His peace. I talk to others about Him because if I truly believe that He is the best and that He has the best for us, why would I not tell everybody that I love, everybody that I know about Him? Like the old phrase, it's like one beggar telling another beggar where he found an abundance, a never-ending supply of food. The God that spoke the universe into existence is the same God that sent His angel to that poor peasant girl, and the same God that works in the lives of believers today. If you don't know that God, then please don't leave this room today without talking to Kurt or myself or another elder. Tune in next week when Kurt brings us the responses to these angelic messengers as we continue our journey through the Gospel of Luke. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You once again for Your word. We thank You for Your love for us. Lord God, it's unfathomable. And I think even the words that we use, the thoughts that we have, will never be able to understand, never be able to describe the magnificence of Your creation. When we can design and make the best, the most colorful things out there that we can possibly think about. And then you look at the fields and the beauty of nature, the beauty of the wonder of nature around you, with flowers in a field. And anything that we can do pales in comparison to Your creation. Lord, that's just one of many, 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 many examples of the wonders and the love that You have for us. May we never forget that. May we keep that in constant view. And Lord, we'll thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.